please, to the Roman Epistle, reading in chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You can go still further, please, to 2 Corinthians, reading in chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and reading at verse number 14. Be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols, for ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Looking back now, please, to the Psalm number 32, and reading at verse number 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which hath no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. And looking back now to Psalm 28, verse number 1. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. And a further one over in the Hebrew Epistle, and reading in chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, and reading at verse number 8. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. And that will suffice for our reading, we trust, with the Lord's blessing upon his good word. Now, just this afternoon, we were hearing from Brother Curry of the different little expressions that were somewhat negative, and I just underlined them as I went through the Bible. So what we have here would be maybe in one sense somewhat similar. It's a few of the many, many mentioned of a clause, and that clause is be not. Be not. Very often seen as an imperative, and sometimes seen as a petition or a prayer. And there is a lovely little cluster of those that I've never really spoken on, and it would remind us of the petitions in a prayer, one we did read there, in Psalm number 28, and concerning the heart going out in petition, be not thou silent unto me, lest if thou be silent unto me, I become like those that go down to the pit. And I was thinking that same petition or similar one is found In Psalm number 22, and twice in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ, something that certainly would always touch my heart as I read through it. And what is it? Be not far from me, for trouble is near. Taking our minds and our thoughts to the place which is called a Calvary, and God's beloved Son passing through the wrath and judgment of God, and of that we sometimes sing the judgment fell on Jesus' head by his shed blood, sin's debt is paid. God's justice will demand no more, and mercy can dispense her store. Those would be worth linking together. Now, there are quite a number of them, and if we're to put them all together, as much as would give us a few nights, maybe a week in ministry, but I'm going to handle about four or five of these this afternoon, and trust to be reasonably brief in doing so. And the first one here in verse number 2 of Romans chapter 12, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I think that there's something here that we do well to mention and to lay upon the hearts of the saints of God. I think every time I rise, I like to remind myself of this, that what I'm saying, I'll meet again at the judgment seat of Christ. Now that gives one somewhat of exercise to rise and to minister the word in a large gathering like this. Something else I have been thinking of, for those who do minister the word, myself included betimes, and that is the things that we should have said and didn't say. Why? Because, well, it may not always be very palatable to the audience, but I think today there's something in these portions of the Word of God that we do well to listen to, and we trust handle them in the fear of God. Be not conformed to this world. I can remember the world back longer than perhaps quite a lot in the audience here. I'm not the eldest man here today, but at the same time, I can look back to 60 years of it, and what changes have taken place in that period of time. Tremendous in the extreme. We're living in a world that's ripening fast today for the judgment of God. And for that reason, if it wasn't for any other, be not conformed to this world. The world in so many shapes and forms, take it politically, take it religiously, and the world generally, it is going further and further and further away from God. To get to some of the points that I feel I would need to mention, because they need to be mentioned in the days in which we live. And one is going back now, maybe almost 60 years ago, I can remember a young woman in the country, and she dressed up in what we might call a trouser suit, and the first that was known to do so in that part of the country. And even Catholic and Protestant were all, did you see what Miss So-and-so, what she was dressed up like a man, dressed up like a man. Now, that was the first. And then, of course, it began to catch on. And then there were others. And in the world, well, today, it's really the exception to see one going down the street dressed the way ladies ought to be dressed, and in a nice skirt and modestly dressed. Well, we like to see that, but they are now in the minority. Isn't that true? There's no one could say that that is wrong, because there's abundant proof of it. And the evil, the world that we're living in, is waxing worse and worse, and certainly is ripening fast for the judgment of God. In some time after that, you'd have seen that creeping into denominational circles, and some going along to the church, and going along in their treasure suits. Now that has become very prevalent as well, and that's solemn to think upon. And I understand that there may be some places, perhaps not in the north of Ireland or in Ireland as well, and there are those that may be come along to try and remember the Lord in a treasure suit. Now, beloved saints of God, I don't think that any would come along to Portavogie dressed like that. And I'm sure the elders here would likely have a word with them, and I would say rightly too, because remember, according to Hebrews chapter 13, that there is rule and authority in the house of God, and we get that again in 1 Timothy there and in chapter 3. And already we've been hearing today of the responsibilities that devolve upon overseers, and I tell you, they're weighty responsibilities, and thank God for all of those. And as we look and move about through the country from assembly to assembly, thank God there are those, and they still rise high in accordance with the Word of God in filling the oversight and in caring for the saints of God. So what I would speak to today, and brethren that are younger, and if you're ever thinking of the caring for a church of God and being amongst others as in the oversight and caring for them, you need to be careful how you live from day to day. And just to see those things developing within the heart of a young man, saved by sovereign grace, and a changed life, and living to please the Lord, and attending the meetings, and maybe giving a word of ministry before the breaking of bread, maybe after it, and developing in the things of God. Well, where that continues, the Holy Spirit of God will one day bring that person forward and to a responsible place in the assembly of the Lord's dear people. They're not brought in anything elected or that. We think of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20, whom the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. And there's one thing we can pray for, and that is this, that the Spirit of God may raise up holy overseers in the days in which you and I live in. We'll leave that there. Be not conformed to this word. But there is one thing that we do see, and maybe too often, and that is those that are in assembly fellowship, not perhaps going to the meetings in a dress like that, but wearing the treasure suits. Where does it come from? Beloved saints of God, make no mistake about it. It is conformity to the world that God is going to have to yet judge. And one other thing about it, if you're saved by sovereign grace and can run out dressed like that, remember, at the judgment seat of Christ, I tell you, there'll be loss, 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 loss. I wonder would there be any of the sisters here today, I don't know any of them, that I can point to, and you'd like to change the balance. Well, it would be good if you just get into the secret place and examine your life and every aspect of it. And it may be from this very day to say, I'm going to try and live more in conformity and to be transformed by the good word of God, and to bear testimony individually and collectively unto the name of an absent Lord. And I don't think I need to say much more about that, but I do see from the Word of God, and I think I'm clear enough in saying, that God expects that there should be a distinction in the dress between males and females, and I think that is borne out by the Word of God. One other thing maybe I should mention where there's tremendous change, even in denominational circles. Many, many years ago, it was in Keady, I understand, quite a large congregation in the Church of Ireland, and there was a lady who came in without a head covering. And the minister there in charge made her go out and get her head covered. Now, what about today? If you were in some of those jarring places, I don't be, of course, on the Lord's Day morning, we'll be attending a funeral of that, but we seek to keep in separation from denominationalism, and when we do, we should be careful, those that we meet with, and to be able to instruct them from the Word of God, and not be in any way rude in doing so. We've been reminded today already that there are still some in some of those denominations and soundly saved in view of eternity, and it would be good if the Word of God could be brought before them and to instruct them that God has a place for His people to gather, gathering onto the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now today we see so many maybe travelling along the Lord's Day morning, and they see them with the Bible in the hand and no head covering. That's very, very sad. And of course that can creep into an assembly of the Lord's dear people as well. And then something else, maybe not too often mentioned. What is that? That is the covering of the hair. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I did write a little article on it by request from Nova Scotia, that the woman should have her long hair. I'm not going into the details of all of that. And of course it's a shame for a man to have long hair. And you know, you would see some times in an assembly and the hair very, very long. I'm thinking of men now, so they need adjustments as well. But we're going to leave it there. Be not conformed to this world, because it's ripening fast for the judgment of God. And I trust that what I have said is not said in any unkind spirit, but that you'll bow to the Word of God and seek to, if need be, make those changes that would make you more transformed and a fit subject more for the assembly of God and for bearing testimony to your friends and neighbours around. The next one I'm thinking of is in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and that is, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. We could take that up in quite a variety of ways, in the business world and in other ways as well, and particularly in relation to an assembly of the Lord's dear people, and those that are saved, whether in an assembly or not, could they read that and be united in matrimony to one that never was born again? If they do, well, they are going against what is plainly written in the Word of God. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. It'll not work. It'll not work. Because if you are, someone has said in the past, well, you'll have a lot to put up with from your father-in-law. If you can interpret that, and I think that shouldn't be too hard to do. For those that are not saved, remember, they're still under the dominating power of Satan and the powers of darkness, and the devil will likely see to it that that person that was saved will have a tremendous lot of trouble in my life because of being unequally yoked together with a non-believer. Coming into the assembly now, maybe not everyone in the assembly is one that you should choose for either a partner in life, or whether it be the male, the man, or the woman, because there are quite a number that I have known in my little day were in assembly fellowship, and they're out and away, and proved that they were never truly born again of the Holy Spirit of God. So what I'm saying is, and I don't say it unkindly, because marriage is something that is divinely ordained in Genesis chapter 2, come to other portions of the Word, Ephesians chapter 5, but at the same time, I trust that the marriage will be only in the Lord. And I'm saying that to all of my younger friends here this afternoon, and we trust you'll lay that to heart and be careful in your movements in that respect. So we come nextly to think of what we have there in Psalm 32. Just in recent days, in our part of the country, there are a lot of those little ponies and horses and gigs. And this time of the year, there maybe be 20 or 30, sometimes maybe near 40 of them passing by, maybe on the Saturday or the Lord's Day. That had happened maybe two or three times. And of course, some of them go very, very gracefully, very, very nice to look upon. And then there are others on horses that are really rascally, and they just not do what the one that is in the gig wants them to do. And sometimes they can be up with a stick in the reins, and the horse is just taking its own way. I'm going to tell this now. I maybe told it before, but once driving up to Keady, and this overtook one of these little gigs, and the man wanted to keep to the main road. Wanted to turn really off the main road, and the horse persisted in going on the main road. And of course the man in the gig, he was up and with his stick and his reins, and he won the battle. But the horse was really up on the hind end, and I tell you, I didn't pass. I just waited till it got settled down, and the man in the gig, he knew his work well, and he made the horse go the way that he wanted it to go. But you're not to be like that now. Be not as the horse or the mule that has no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle. And you know, when you get a person in an assembly and there's a bit of the character of the horse and the mule comes out in them, it's woe betide that assembly. They're in trouble. They're in trouble. And I just leave the exhortation. Let each one of us take it to our heart. Don't you be like the horse. Don't be like the mule. The horse can be very, very rough, and the mule, I understand, can be very, very, very stubborn and will persist in what they want to do, and you're not to be like that. You're to be led and guided, and to have a respect for those that God has raised up in the assembly. Remember, there's rule in the home, and there's rule right from creation, even from day to day. The sun and the moon put into the firmament, and it was to rule by day and to rule by night, and many aspects of rule. And remember, there's rule in the assembly of the Lord's dear people, and it's good when that rule is handled by Holy Ghost overseers, that we should try be and be in submissive to and in their ministry from the good word of God. Then, if I might come quickly while we are in the Psalms, and that thought, back to Psalm number 28. And where the psalmist says, "Be not silent unto me, lest I become like those that go down to the pit." Now that's not an imperative, that is really a petition, and there are quite a number of those as well, that sometimes I intend to maybe look at them and see the different relationships one to another. I'm sure that would be fruitful for any in the ministry meeting here to do. But really, when we think of one in trouble, because there are contexts where that is the case, be and in relation to one in trouble, there are many portions of the word. I'm thinking of Psalm number 61. "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." That's a verse of scripture that it put on a parallel somewhat insofar as his teaching is concerned with Psalm number 28. "Be not silent unto me." You know, most of the saints of God at some time in their life will be brought into those circumstances where things are overwhelming. Maybe turn to their brethren, turn to their sisters, looking for the answer to the circumstances in which they're found, and it doesn't come. He says, "That the end of the road?" No, it's not. There's a blessed man today at God's right hand. And thank God, he has been tempted in all points, as someone said, "like unto us, yet without sin." And there's not a pang that rends the heart, but the man of sorrows shares a part. May the Lord enable the speaker, enable each one of the dear saints of God, when those circumstances arise, to be able to take it into the sanctuary before your Heavenly Father, breathing out the precious name and claiming the precious promises of the Word of God, and to make clear the pathway before us. And we're praying to a God who hears, and a God who answers prayer. Then if I might come back again to the New Testament, to Hebrews chapter 13. And there, of course, it is in a context in relation to Hebrews. And going back again to Judaism, and is for them that it was first written. And what is, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. Now, that is something that none of us would be immune from. Something that we do well to pray for. Because we have known of some to be caught up in strange doctrine and seldom, if ever, are they recovered from the teaching that they have imbibed. Now that's very, very solemn to think upon. So, giving it an application even to the days in which we live and forgetting about Judaism at the moment, that you and I should be careful of the doctrine that we hear. The doctrine that we hear, and sometimes the doctrine that is written as well, and we're not to be carried about with divers and with strange doctrines. Rather, should we test them by to the good word of God, and says the Scripture, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. We'll leave the little thoughts with you. Many, many more we could turn to. Maybe do that sometime again. Some of these scriptures we read just on the Lord's Day morning in our own little assembly, and trust that the Lord will bless what is said there, and that the Lord will be pleased to bless the few remarks that we have sought to bring before the saints of God. I know they're very, very, very plain, and I felt it was my responsibility thinking of the judgment seat of Christ. Because I do believe that for those things that we should have spoken of, that there'll be a loss when we come to the judgment seat of Christ. So may the Lord help us to declare the whole counsel of God, and there'll be a reward for that.